This week we do conclude a two-week sermon series that has been titled Making Change. And if you missed Scott's message last week, you can access that. It's archived on either the website or on the Carmel app, and you can catch up on that. But in short, to kind of recap what he talked about last week, he talked about giving is good and tomorrow matters. And in order to get to both of these places, what he emphasized is that it's important for us to develop a very intentional and specific plan to get to this place. This kind of place in our life typically does not happen naturally. It's not kind of the way that we naturally move to be about our the way that we manage what God has blessed us with. So we need to have a plan and be intentional. And that is because it is culture really challenges us with this. Culture will regularly tell us that, you know what, you don't, why wait for tomorrow what you can have today? And I think a lot of this mindset has moved America in the place today where, as Scott shared, 76% of Americans are living today paycheck to paycheck. And that doesn't have to be. And so that's what we hope to share and to encourage all of us through this series. So I want to begin with a question before we explore today, how do we get there? And this question is just for you to think about. Do your personal finances, do they bring you fear or do they bring you freedom? Do your personal finances bring you fear or do they bring you freedom? And so I hope that as you think about that, whether you're in a position where you're digging out of debt or you're planning for your future, I hope that this series helps us to build a foundation in this world that is so debt-saturated. Last week, as I shared this message in the other worship experience and have heard this week from several folks, I have heard many people say, boy, I wish these kinds of thoughts had been shared when I was younger. These make so much sense. I wish I had known it when I was starting out. And I say, yes, that is awesome. But I also say it is never too late. It's never too late to begin and to redirect how we manage our lives and our finances. So today is not a stewardship campaign. It's nothing about an ask for money in any way at all. Today is about talking about how we manage our money, our own personal finances. And so I know someone may say, well, why is it appropriate to spend a portion of our worship talking about my personal finances and how I manage my money? And Scripture clearly tells us that the church is the place that we talk about this, because in the Scriptures it speaks more about money than just about any other issue at all in Scriptures. And also God knows us so well that he knows that our money and our possessions is one of the things that we'll hold on to most tightly all of our lives. And so it's a thing that's most difficult for us to release and to honor God with. And so that's why there is so much in Scripture about all of that. So the four principles are up there on the screen that we're looking at this week. Less is more, stress is bad. That'll be for this week. Last week you talked about giving is good and tomorrow matters. And it is certainly a countercultural kind of concept as we talk about less is more, because I don't know about you, but in many ways all of my life I always thought that more indicated that you were successful, right? More, if I had more, if I moved from a smaller house to a bigger house, probably indicate I'm doing better. I have more. If I bought a nicer car, having more indicated that things were better. And so I think we believe that when one is good, two is better. One is good, more is even better. But in Scripture, as we'll explore now, Ecclesiastes 4:6, we begin to be challenged on that mindset. And those words read this way: better is a handful with quiet than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. A week or so ago, when I was preparing for the other service to preach the same sermon, the liturgist for that day called me and said, I'm not quite sure how this Scripture speaks to what we're doing. And so I said, that's good, because here's the opportunity to help all of us understand. Better is a handful with quiet. If my one hand is full And I'm not overstretched. I'm not overextended. That leaves my other hand free to do whatever else I can do. I can help others. I can give this. I have a freedom. But so that is why one handful is quiet. Man, having just what we need allows us to be quiet and to be calm. But then two hands with toil and a chasing after the wind, suddenly when we have all this stuff and we're all about accumulating all this stuff more and more, our hands become very full. Not only do our hands become very full, but then also it takes a lot of work to maintain all of this stuff and to keep all this stuff going. And so we tend to be chasing after the wind just to keep up with all of the stuff that we have placed in within our hands. Better is a handful with quiet than two handfuls with toil and a chasing after the wind. I think to get to this place where we address this issue, there's a question that we need to ask ourselves first, to get things in the right perspective. And that question to us is, what really matters? What really matters? I go back to, I say oftentimes, a good guidance in many aspects of our life is to know with certainty three non-negotiable words or concepts. Here's, for example, when I speak to someone who's, you know, younger and looking to considering a spouse, considering getting married, my question is, when you're looking for your spouse, what are the three non-negotiable characteristics or things about that person that has to be in there? Because I say that if those three non-negotiables are not there, you don't need a second date. My three non-negotiables are non-negotiable, have to be in that person no matter what. And I say the same concept, use the same three non-negotiables in this when we talk about what really matters. What are the three things that are in your life, that you want in your life, that there's no negotiating about that? No negotiating. It never changes. Most important in your life. And I think maybe if you can't figure out what they are, what they could be, let me put it in this perspective. What if you were given 3 months to live? What would be the three most important ways that you would want to spend those months? I'm guessing it maybe has something to do with God and spiritual, family, spouse, friends, health. I imagine that's what it's about. I don't think that there's probably going to be in there a necessarily a drive to get more or to have more or to go out and be shopping. I think that helps to keep us on track. So, as we think about these three non-negotiables, what is it that we need to do as we look at our life? Are we living our life in line with that, or do we need to make a few adjustments? And so what I would like to suggest today is I'm going to suggest 3 points that if we are not yet at living out those 3 points as our priorities, how do we get us on track so that we focus on what matters? And the first one I'm going to suggest is that we simply need to cut back. We need to stop accumulating. We need to stop trying to get more and more stuff. Because think about them. In our homes, I know many of us have walk-in closets. And many of us have a lot of stuff in the walk-in closets. I know, because I watch HGTV, I know that there are people who have walk-around closets because they can walk around their closets probably about 8 times and they can clock a mile that they've walked. I know that. I also know that there are closets that have two tiers of stuff, places to store stuff. I also saw on HGTV, so I know a lot, that there was a house that had a closet that actually came down out of the ceiling. So my goodness, they got to have a third level in their closet to keep all of their stuff. And I also know that many of us have so much stuff that we put our stuff in our garage. Now, I thought garages were built for automobiles, but sometimes we have so much stuff that we have to move it into there. And then sometimes we get so much stuff, well, you know, we have attics and we have basements, right? And then if we still have so much stuff, how often do we go somewhere and rent storage for our stuff so we actually pay somebody to store our stuff that we don't even remember that we have, that we don't even use, and that we don't even really want, but we're paying someone to store it, right? And so can't we laugh at ourselves? Isn't that just kind of the most ridiculous thing you can think of? And then there are persons that go out and say, I think what really appeals to me is a house that was built in the very early 1900s. When they start going through those houses, what do they discover? Well, where do they keep all their stuff? Because all they have is real tiny closets. So that's why every now and again, I think we need to remind ourselves that less is more. Better is one handful with quiet than a bunch of stuff and toil that goes with us. And Jesus taught this concept to us also. He said to a man, your life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. We know it up here. I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it? Up here, we know that. But when it comes to living that out, I think that's where we're often very challenging. And we have to learn how to change that in ourselves. So stop accumulating, adding more and more. So the second point to be made is clear out. And I know for some people this can be a little bit unnerving or heartbreaking to clear out. I know that there are many of us who maybe didn't grow up with much. And so finally when we get some stuff, we think, oh, I've got to hold on to it because I don't know when I'm going to have money if I'd ever need to replace it. So I need to keep it just for in case. I know a lot of that concept comes out of the post-depression era also. I may never have it again. I've got to hold on to it. Then I say it's heartbreaking because then we also say, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we hold on to just because it's sentimental. Just because, well, I got this back, gosh, so long ago from so-and-so, and this means so much. And the kids, this was about the kids, and this is such and such. And so we just hold on to all this stuff for our own kinds of reasons. And then that leads us to the problem of we can walk in our closets and look around and say, I just don't have anything to wear, right? And it's because we literally are overwhelmed with our choices at that point because we have accumulated so much stuff. So we need to clear out. I don't know about you, but sometimes on an evening when I decide to just, oh, I think I'm just going to watch a movie, and I go into Netflix. Sometimes I am just overwhelmed because of all of the choices, and I'm not sure what I want to watch. So it just takes me a while just to sort through all the stuff. I'm the same way when a friend of mine from seminary, about every month or two, we meet for lunch at Cheesecake Factory. Yeah. And then you know that menu that's a book? It really is. And you know the thing about the book is everything is good on that menu. And I'm just overwhelmed with the choices, so all I do every time is get the usual barbecue chicken salad because I'm overwhelmed with all of the choices I have. So to clear out feels refreshing for us, and it helps us. And finally, third, I'd like to suggest that we need to pay off. We need to pay off because less is more, because, yes, debt-free is fun. May think, well, I'll never get all the way there. May not get all the way there, but certainly never use that as an excuse to not start the journey toward that. And there's a well-known person, Dave Ramsey, who talks a lot about this, and he just says, you need to just get crazy about this. You need to launch, and you need to get crazy. And that's why we're real excited about being able to offer a course upcoming, Financial Peace University, that is based on Dave Ramsey's teachings, his financial teachings of how to set up a budget and how to live that out so that you truly can become a debt-free person. And we have already taught that class two or three times this year already. We're headed to another, or not since 18, but 17 and 18. We've already taught the class two or three times, headed to offer another one. So please mark your calendars that there's a preview on June 18th from 6 to 8 p.m. And then the first class will start July 9, 6 to 8 p.m., and that's for 9 weeks. And that is an opportunity that you will share with others, talking more about cutting back, clearing out, and paying off, that will make a real difference in your life. And if you don't think that you need that information, I know you know somebody that could use that information. And I hope that you will encourage someone or yourselves come and participate in that as they take a look at all of these concepts. When we're in debt, what does it create? It creates stress in our life. And I know I'm not saying anything new that you don't know about, but what will be taught is how to live without stress. And that teaching will say, you know what? You got 100% of what you got. You take all the 80% and you live on it. It's yours. take your another 10% and put that toward your tithe, and another 10% toward your savings, and you are on your way to the kind of financial freedom that he desires and he advocates. Something that I think is so true that I've heard, the richest people in the world are not those who have the most, but those who need the least. True? The richest people in the world are not those who have the most, but need the least. And I know those who are going out on mission, you're going to see that. We see that regularly when we go into these pockets, these communities of great need, and that's what we learn. If you ever take a mission trip to an international country and stay about a week or 10 days, I can promise you that this is a process that everyone goes through in visiting and serving in an impoverished country. First of all, you arrive there the first couple days, and the first couple days are overwhelming. You think, oh my gosh, they don't have any running water. Oh my gosh, they have dirt floors. Oh my gosh, they don't have any electricity. How could these people live? And this poverty just breaks my heart. And that's what you kind of are the mode you're in the first couple days. But after about 3 or 4 days, you find a shift. Because what happens is that poverty, as you've seen it, kind of becomes not as shocking, and becomes you kind of get used to it a little bit. And in that mode, you're able to begin to really notice the culture and notice the people. And I promise you, what you see is you see that, yeah, there are children that are running around and playing on dirt floors with no shoes, but you know what? They're laughing, and they're happy, and they're really having a wonderful time. And then you look around, and instead of the adults running from here to there to get this and that and all of that, you see, you know what? They just kind of hang around and just talk and just enjoy one another. Then maybe in the middle of your trip, you go to a worship service. And you see all these Jesus followers worshiping, and these people who have nothing, but they worship like they have everything. Like they have absolutely everything. And they're just singing songs about, you know, God provides for us. We have everything that we need. And then after you're there about a week and about to head home, I will promise you, that you will begin to feel slightly jealous of them, because they have nothing and they seem satisfied. They're happy. They're satisfied. And I find myself coming away thinking, I wish I had that kind of simplicity in my life. I wish I had that kind of passion in my life. I wish I was more like them. Now, that's not to be naive to think, you know what, they certainly have challenges in their lives. Absolutely, they have challenges. But for the majority of Americans, when we don't live by less is more, that creates stress in our lives, and that affects the quality of our lives. I've never heard anyone say, man, my debt helps me feel so much at peace. I'm so thankful for the high interest rates that I'm paying. I feel so close to God every time I'm paying off this interest. I feel so much better. My debt brings me joy. Promise you, I've never heard that. I've never heard, man, it makes me feel really, I mean, what I do here is this debt really makes me feel stressed out. And I worry about it all the time. We have fights about money. It's not helping us. I'd give anything to be back in the place where we were back at the beginning. Never heard anybody say, ever since I got into debt, our marriage is so much better. Before we had payments, we would fight all the time. But now that we have payments, we never have anything to fight about. But I have heard, I wish I could give more to the people who are in need. But we're just not able to do that right now. I have heard that I wish one of us could stay home with the kids, but that's not even close to being an option. I have heard that I wish that we didn't have stress, because we are fighting all the time. And I have heard I wish we could travel, but there's no way we can even talk about that. So if the absolute practical side of the finances doesn't motivate you, I invite us to think about the spiritual side. What does this say about us spiritually? And in Scripture, it tells us that Jesus is the one who said, if you're faithful with little, he will trust you with much. And I say be careful that that's not a prosperity gospel, thinking more stuff or more money, that's what this is about. It's about so much more than that. As when we handle our money in a way that is glorifying to God, that is true worship of God. When you sit down to do your budget, look through your budget every week or 2 weeks or month, whatever you do, when you do so, is if you know that the way you're managing your money is God-honoring, that's a moment of worship. That's true worship. The team is just leaving because they know they're on their way out. They need to go to the van. That is true worship. So what I'd like to suggest is how do we get ourselves to a point where we can even begin to live this way? So I'm going to suggest that there are three short prayers that everyone can be praying that will help us get this one. And the first one is, God, give me self-control. And that God, give me self-control says, you know what, you got to get that little kid under control. And the way you get the little kid under control is that you have to say no. You have to say no. I built my house about 17 years ago. And I had a screened-in porch. I always wanted a glassed-in porch, so it was like a three-season room. Kind of, always wanted it. And I'd say something to people periodically, whatever we're talking about, I'd say, yeah, I'd really love that glass in my porch, but I can't afford it right now. And I think sometimes people maybe almost felt sorry for me, thinking, oh, you know, she can't do that right now. For me, saying no was saying that I'm managing my money and I'm in control of my money. And so I was so thrilled 2 weeks ago when finally glass was put into my screened-in porch. I now have a three-season porch. And when I sit out there, I can't even tell you the joy that I feel. Not only because it's beautiful to look out in the pond and everything, but also I sit there and I think, you know what? This is a true blessing of God. And now I have the opportunity to worship and praise him for the gift that it is to me. It's a whole different experience. So God, give me self-control. Second prayer, God, give me understanding. And I think no matter what, when we talk about finances and money, I think we have to have a financial understanding. And I'm not so sure we're always taught that in our homes or in our schools anymore. There are concepts that we have to understand that we need to deal with. For example, talking about buying something or doing something. Oh, yeah, $200 a month, I can manage that. That's really not a problem. $200 a month, that'll be easily done. Well, let me suggest this. If a student graduates from college and making a great salary, says, oh, you always wanted a truck, want a brand new truck, go out and buy a truck. Well, go out and buy the truck for $48,000. Oh, $250 a month, I can afford that. That's not a problem. Well, how did you pay for it? Well, I financed it. How long? 72 months. What was the interest rate? 19%. So I want to say, when we're talking about understanding, do we understand what that $250 a month that you think you can afford is really about? Because if you buy something $48,000 at 19% over 72 months, and if you pay on it every single month, that is going to come to just under $81,000. So you pay on it every month, and in 6 or 7 years, you still have the truck, and it's getting older. What's the truck worth, maybe? Maybe $12,000 or $15,000. So what you did was you paid $81,000 for something that's maybe going to be worth $12,000 or $15,000. I'm not sure we always understand that, and I'm not sure where that's being taught. And I say, scripturally, God calls us and says, you got to understand this. You got to get this. Proverbs 22:7 reminds us that the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave of the lender. Scripturally, they were talking about credit card debt before there were even any credit cards, because the concept needed to be taught and people needed to be aware of. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then again, I say, we're talking about this financial understanding that, yes, we're getting lost and we're getting locked. We're being lost because we don't have the understanding. Now, let me take this money and make it a real positive thing. Let's say that you owe $16,000 on credit cards and you pay $250 a month and 19% interest. At that rate, it's going to take you 40 years to pay off. And so suddenly, what you'll be paying in interest is $105,000. $16,000 credit card. Okay. Let's say that you didn't have that debt. You didn't have the $16,000 credit card. And instead what you did was you invested that $16,000. And I'm going to say it's really a really good economy. And I'm going to say you find easily 12% interest. And you invest that money for 40 years. And then you'll realize from that, you will realize $1.5 million. Okay, I'm going to take it a step further. Let's say you had the $16,000 in hand, and you took that $250 monthly payment, and instead of paying it on something, you invested it along with the $16,000. With 12% interest, again, good times, over 40 years, you will amass over $4 million. Because you said no before you said yes. And so we need to understand what our decisions today mean for tomorrow. And finally, pray that God give me a plan. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The plans of the diligent leads to profit, as surely, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." And again, that is teaching is so countercultural. It says, you know what? Say no today and think about what you're doing. And that's so countercultural. I know that you can wander into debt, but you can't wander out of it. I know that we can stumble into debt, but we can never stumble out of it. And we can mistake our way into debt, but we can't mistake our way out of debt. And God desires for us to have this intentional plan and to have this kind of understanding because, again, God has given to us so much, but what God desires from us is worship and gratitude, and we show that when we manage the money in a way that we're not caught into debt so that we cannot pull ourselves out. So whether you're early in your life and career, whether you're on the way to future planning, wherever you are in life, whatever your finances are now, it is never too late. And if you enroll in this class, this Dave Ramsey class, you will be reminded that you're never too late, and you will be given a path, and you will work that path so we can become what God desires us to become. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh, gracious and holy God, that is truly, this topic is the one of them that is most important, a challenge to all of us. So, Lord, I just pray that all of us will pause and to just reflect upon the way that we're living our lives from this perspective. Lord, we know that less is more, and we know that you desire for us to know that. So just inspire us to take whatever is pertinent for us through this message and apply it to our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand and sing today's closing hymn.
Amen. Let's stand up and sing our last song.